And what about, and my husband certainly pointed this out to me, because he used to like Krispy Kreme's donuts, and now he can't find them anymore. In fact, he loves Krispy Kreme donuts. And there was one right by our house, and he goes, what is up with this? All the Krispy Kremes are gone. And I said, yeah, it's very, very unusual, isn't it? Do you think there might be something more to this? And I'm just posing the question, because I'm not the guru on this. My super-duper guest who's in studio is the guru on this, and he's making the claim that, yes, Terry, there is something bigger behind this. It isn't just the franchise necessarily in Arizona. We're going to talk about this. Because I was thinking, oh, there must be a problem with the Arizona franchise with Krispy Kremes. Might not be, I'm told. So do you think it could be something, the result of something more sinister? Then there's this company called Overstock.com. Great on the internet. But this company, also might be the victim of some major fraud going on. Not to mention a company called Sedona and BioVail, which was talked about with 60 Minutes. So I'm starting to look at this and I'm saying to myself, whoa, what is behind this? Talked to my special guest when I booked him for the show, and he says to me, Terry, there's a lot behind this. The SEC is investigating. Attorneys general of many, many states are starting to investigate. Mainstream media is writing about this. There's more coming out with Forbes. And what we're looking at is one of the largest frauds, this is his words, the largest fraud to ever hit, according to my guest who will be with us in mere moments, American business. Driving companies that were up and coming into the toilet. And if it continues, it could crash the stock market. And I went, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding me. I said, come on into the studio and let's talk about it. So that is upcoming. And the local connection? The local connection, which I want to talk about, is a Scottsdale firm called Gradient Analytics, formerly called Camelback. And what do they have to do with all of this? Well, according to my guest, they have a lot to do with it because they're a piece of this giant puzzle since they're a research company that he alleges writes false reports to drive a company down so that hedge funds, the big gurus, people with big, big money, can make money on it going down and not up. And how might you do that? By writing negative reports, by falsifying what a company is earnestly doing for its success. So we're going to talk about this on a very simple scale, because if it's really true this is happening in widespread measure, I know you, my listeners at KFYI, who are so smart, will want to know about it. 523 here on News Talk 550 KFYI, the Valley's talk station. I'm Terry Gilbert. Welcome to the program tonight. We're going to try to get right to it. And then toward the end of the program, if you've got some comments on, oh, the Pope or Muslims or these initiatives, I'm going to take it in more of our open line time. Here's the number to get in on tonight's conversation, 602-260-KFYI. I've been looking into this concept when a stock is not delivered. And this is the way I think of it in my mind. Let's say you buy a ticket to get on Southwest Airlines and you want to go to Los Angeles, all right? So you got your ticket, you paid your, what, $200 or $50 or wherever it is you're going. Maybe you're going to San Francisco, Seattle, wherever it is you're going. And you need a seat on that plane. And you go to check in and they say, oh, Terry or Sam or whoever you are, guess what? We're overbooked. We're overbooked and we can't put you on the flight. You go, but I got a ticket. I paid my good money. Yeah, but you know what? Let me give you an IOU and you can catch the midnight flight tonight. All right. You stand there. You're kind of mad. You go, well, all right. Well, I'll go get a beer and I'll just get on the midnight flight. And then the midnight flight comes along and they go, oh, we're so sorry. You know what? We can't deliver that because we're overbooked. You go, wait a minute. Now, if this happens over and over and over and over again and you never get on your flight, but you paid the money, something's going to go off in your head that says, whoa, I've been cheated. And this is what we're talking about with regard to the larger picture, which is happening, so say some experts and indeed an investigative CEO himself is saying it's happening on Wall Street and you are being affected without you really realizing it. Without further ado, I want to bring Patrick Byrne to KFYI's microphone. He is the CEO of Overstock. And because it happened to his company out of Utah, He's looked into it at great length, and he says he's on to something big, bigger than Enron. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Terry. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here in the studios, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you. That was a beautiful analogy about the airplanes ticket. That's exactly what's happening in the market. I'll correct you on one thing. Yes, I happen to be the CEO of Overstock. That has infinitesimally little to do with why I'm here. As the CEO of Overstock, I became aware of this enormous fraud. I'm trying to take this fraud on because I think it is the largest commercial fraud in U.S. history. Somebody has to expose it. Now, yes, I am the CEO of Overstock. I just try to set that aside. Forget that. Forget that I'm the CEO of Overstock. I'm trying to tell the American people you are systematically being ripped off in Wall Street. It's the
even the grandmas, the little grandmas,
even
and the
grandmas
and little pipsqueaks like me.
Well, I don't know about. I haven't seen your stock account, but
well, I'm not the CEO of a company, all right. But I understand where you're going. Now, why are you on this mission?
Because it is the largest commercial fraud in American history. And you have no idea. The common investor out there may be investing. Their savings are getting drained out of, say, this crack in the stock market that very few people are aware of. They're saving. It's the perfect crime. Their money is getting stolen through hundreds of companies, and the American people are not. They just don't understand that there's this crack in the stock market. So I'm trying to bring public attention to the fact that there is a crack in the stock market that the hedge funds are using to steal the savings of America. The theft is probably in the hundreds of billions, if not the low trillions of dollars at this point.
But you came to this realization yourself because of what happened to your own company.
Correct.
Tell me about that.
Well, I try to leave Overstock out of it because one of the bad guys, one of the things they do right away is they say, oh, this is just some guy who's mad about his own company, this and that. So I say, hey, forget Overstock. Leave that out of it. What has come out through Freedom of Information Act requests is that there are 400 or 500 companies a month who are seeing their stocks diluted by basically these IOUs, stock IOUs. The hedge funds and the broker dealers are getting away with issuing them. The system was never supposed. The system was set up to allow a little bit of these IOUs in case there was a problem, but people are exploiting this loophole and they are flooding the stock market with fake stock. And what that means is, if you own stock in any one of 400 or 500 companies, your savings are being stolen from you. You've paid your money. You never really got your stock. You generally don't even know that all you really have in your account is an IOU, and the value of those companies is being destroyed by these coordinated attacks with fake stock.
Now, would you say that Taser International, because when I booked you for this, you said you knew Taser's circumstances pretty well. Would you say and go on record that Taser International is a victim of this?
No question. No question. They're on the SEC, who I think has been particularly weak about this whole issue, has at least started forcing to be published a list of companies that are being manipulated. They're not doing anything about the criminals doing it, but they're at least publishing the names of companies. Taser has been on that list forever. Taser is a good local company. They were profitable. Law enforcement loves them. They showed up on this list of companies being manipulated. The same names keep turning up. The same hedge funds.
Even Krispy Kremes?
Krispy Kreme, Martha Stewart, Taser, all good examples. Novastar. These crooks seem to have an in with the SEC, and so they're able to get, I don't know if there are people on the take or what, but they get people at the SEC to file basically bogus investigations. A bogus investigation was started against Taser. It was dropped a year later with nothing coming of it. The SEC had to admit they found nothing, but they used this to drive as part of a scheme to destroy the company and the stock.
So we got a break for Fox News here quickly, but how many, just in a nutshell, how many companies would you say have gone under because of this?
Well, there's one economist, a former undersecretary of commerce, who says it's probably 1,000 to 2,000 companies and probably $1 trillion or more have been stolen.
Holy cow. That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's an amazing number. All right. Patrick Byrne, special guest here on the Terry Gilbert Show, talking about your money. First, some Fox News and a local update from our newsroom here at KFYI, and we'll resume. 602-260-5394, 260-KFYI. I'm Terry Gilbert at 5:36 here on Sunday afternoon, walking you through with my very special guest in studio, Patrick Byrne, who is the CEO of a company called Overstock.com and a former professor at Dartmouth. He's been in business and philosophy for some time. He has discovered and is going on record with many authorities on Wall Street and with attorneys general, generals throughout the nation, that there is a fraudulent scheme upon us all, really, if you are in any way involved in the stock markets, that needs to be exposed and that is bigger than Enron. At the break, Patrick and I were talking about how Enron, at least, you would know who the enemy was. The leaders of Enron, and to some extent, Arthur Andersen, pumping up what Enron was all about. In this particular scheme, however, there's more of a phantom evil, and it has to do with phantom shares of stock. In other words, there is no stock, just continuing to sell IOUs. Who does this? Large hedge funds, people with big money that want to play the markets, and who's the victim? Well, you guessed it, always the little guy. Patrick, it's almost like trying to find Al-Qaeda in caves, trying to find bin Laden. If this is really true, what you are saying, and you are going on record, not only with 60 Minutes and Dateline and some of these other programs that you have already done, you are saying this scandal will be bigger than Enron.
It dwarfs Enron.
And that it's hard to find, however, who the enemy is.
You got it. It's the perfect crime, because what it means is the savings of America are being stolen through this very arcane technique that very few people can understand, and they're being drained out of the stock market. All you see is that your own stock prices go down, and you never understand that that's all a manipulation. It's orchestrated by a small group of a few dozen hedge funds who are actually manipulating it, and you never understand that your savings, it wasn't just the natural process of the market. They were actually stolen.
All right, let's walk through this a little bit, because I know there's some listeners that don't know what a hedge fund is, and that's fine. Very smart people, but they're not in this field. A hedge fund is a pile of money by many very rich investors coming together that, and correct me where I'm wrong, because this is a very Terry sophomoric take on this, basically playing whether or not the markets in general will go up or will go down. Not necessarily believing in a product like General Motors produces a good car, or Taser International produces a good stun gun. They don't care so much about the product. It's like Las Vegas betting on horses or betting on a boxing tournament. They care less about the player in the ring, but more about whether or not the game will be won or lost. Is that correct?
That's a good synopsis. And now add in a couple other dimensions. Imagine that they own the referee. Imagine that they're so close to the referee, they're betting on a boxing match, but the fix is in with the referee. In this case, the SEC, which is the Washington, D.C. body that's supposed to govern the stock market, is very close to these hedge funds, because everybody knows you can leave. Everybody in the SEC is looking for a job out of it. They know that they can, if they're good regulators, they can leave and get million-dollar-a-year positions.
Wait a minute. You're alleging there are some regulators in bed with these crooked hedge
funds? Oh, totally. The SEC is totally in the pocket.
How are you going to prove that?
Well, first of all, you can just look at their behavior, and their behavior is so lopsided. Economists actually have a term for it, a captured regulator. That is, the SEC is supposed to be set up to protect American Main Street from Wall Street, but they've gotten so close to Wall Street that instead of protecting, they seem to be giving hall passes to the criminals. They are turning a blind eye to a great deal of this, and only now, because of a lot of public pressure, are they even starting to do something. However, there's one senior SEC investigator who, in May of this year, he left the SEC. He was investigating some politically powerful people on Wall Street. He got fired. He left the he got fired from the SEC. He wrote a letter to Congress, which became public in May, where he says, this is all true. I was a senior guy within the SEC. It is completely corrupt. There's rampant political cronyism. We cannot go after powerful people because they can just pick up the phone. In fact, he says that I went after one very powerful man at Morgan Stanley, and my supervisor came and told me this guy has too much political juice. You can't touch him. You can't investigate him. I got fired. He says this naked short selling is rampant, and that the whole SEC, people are now wondering whether the SEC can survive in its present form. It has become captured by the very crooks it is supposed to be protecting us from.
So that's collusion, that's corruption. That means you have to go to Congress. Now, in your own state of Utah, have you gone to senators like Orrin Hatch? Have you gone to other U.S. congressmen and senators in Washington?
In fact, Congressman Renzi from Arizona wrote a letter last week to the SEC demanding that they change their ways. There's a whole group of congressmen have written letters in support of what we're trying to do. Orrin Hatch, and I'll mention this because he's fearful for my life. Orrin Hatch told me something, and he said, I want you to put this out on the air the next time you're interviewed, that if you get Orrin Hatch said to say, Byrn, if you get killed, I will bring the world down on these people's heads.
So wait a minute. Your life is on the line, Patrick?
This is all...
Because you're the one leading this charge.
This is every rabbit hole you go down here, you come on mafia. Every rabbit hole you go down, you come up on Panamanian hedge funds, Russian hedge funds. That's all I'll say.
All right, let me get the number out if you'd like to have a question, if you have a question or a comment, because this is an interactive radio program. I'm Terry Gilbert with Patrick Byrn, and we're talking about something called, the term is naked short selling, but what it really means is collusion. What it means is a conspiracy. What it means is that if you give your money to a broker and expect a stock to come back to you, that certificate, you will not get the certificate. You will get an IOU. Somebody is ripping you off. Here's the number, 602-260-KFYI, 260-5394. First up, Charlie in Scottsdale. Welcome to the Terry Gilbert Show. Hello, Charlie.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I'd like to speak to Mr. Byrn.
He's right here. Go ahead, Charlie. What's your question or comment?
For 1 second, please.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Yes, pardon me. I'm fogging my throat here. I'd like some details on this. You're saying that, for instance, if we buy stock, we won't get the stock certificate. You're also saying that the SEC and a group of hedge funds have stole trillions of dollars, but you won't give any names or any details. I'd like to know what details are involved. Exactly how are they supposed to be doing all this? What are the names of the hedge funds? You've said there are about a dozen or two dozen hedge funds. Who?
Right.
What are the names of the SEC?
Good question,
officials?
Charlie. Good question.
Good question. Thank you, Charlie. First of all, it's not me saying the trillions of dollars. There's Robert Shapiro, PhD from Harvard, former Undersecretary of Commerce. He started off saying this was
to President Clinton. Is that right?
To Clinton, yes, to Clinton, very well respected mainstream economist. He started off saying it was in the hundreds of billions. He's now saying that it may be a trillion or more. It is clear that, well, we do know who's involved in the bear raids. I can tell you Stephen Cohen, SAC, is involved.
What do you mean, what's a bear raid?
A bear raid is when a group of hedge funds, a group of short sellers get together with the collusion of some crooked journalists and some crooked regulators, and they go after a company to bring it down. You know, Wall Street is made up of bulls and bears. When the bears get together and they collude to take a company down, that's a bear raid. So Stephen Cohen, David Rocker, Mark Cohodes, these are examples of the hedge funds involved. Now, we happen to be able to tell from the SEC also causes to be published a list of companies which are seeing a stock manipulation, and that list is called a Reg Show list. The companies that are coming under the bear raid attacks from those hedge funds I just mentioned also show up on the list of companies who are seeing their stocks manipulated. So it's, of course, natural to say, are the same people who are involved in the bear raids, are they the ones doing the naked shorting? At the end, which means, are they the ones selling stock without seeing it delivered? At the end of the day, you know, is going to take guys with badges and guns to get into the records and to put those together and see if they're the same people. But we do know, for example, in the case of Taser or Allied Capital or Novastar or Krispy Kreme or Martha Stewart, that...
Or your own company.
Or Overstock, that there are people out there selling stock without delivering it. Millions and millions and millions of shares. And the Freedom of Information Act requests have finally come back from the SEC, which confirm exactly what we've been saying for predicting for 2 years. So we know that that manipulation is going on, and we also know that these hedge funds with some dirty journalists are involved in the bear raids. At the end of the day, it's going to take, you know, some guys with badges and guns to say, was it the same people involved on one side of the manipulation as on the other?
Good question, Charlie. Thanks so much for your call. So what you're saying, kind of on a broader overarching idea, Patrick, is if this is in fact the biggest or the drumbeat to the biggest commercial fraud in United States history, bigger than even Enron and the savings and loans, we could expect if this doesn't come under check by the authorities, big-time authorities, guys with guns and badges, we could see another stock market crash akin to 1929, or is that an exaggeration?
No, that's not an exaggeration. In fact, there are some people who believe that the crash of 1929 was caused very much by the same kinds of activities that were running rampant. In fact, in 1959, the SEC wrote a report that was like a history of their first 25 years where they described what happened in 1929. And from their point of view, it reads just like you're hearing, just like you're reading about today. They described massive, what were called pools back then, pool operations. Now they're called hedge funds, where people were getting together in pools and pooling their money
in kind of a conspiracy idea to, with big money, because everybody has pooled it, make even more money against the market.
Correct. Manipulating the stocks up, down, sideways, and then destroying companies. So they themselves were saying this is what happened in 1929. Okay, go ahead.
All right, let me get another call in.
The phones are lighting up.
Yes, Roger in Litchfield Park. Hello, Roger. Welcome to the Terry Gilbert Show. Your question or comment. I'm so glad you called.
Yeah, thanks, Terry.
Hi, Roger.
Patrick. Very, very interesting. Patrick, you've got my, you sent chills up my spine. I had money in Enron, and, you know, we all know what happened to Enron, so I don't need to say any more about that.
Right.
Number one, do you think that we're going to come to the end of the day? You say that, you know, it's going to take...
it's going to take guys with guns and badges, right?
Right. I mean, when is that day going to come, Patrick? I mean, do we know enough about this? Are these guys dedicated?
The question is, in essence, if I may, Roger, because we're up against the clock, how widespread is this? When is the El Cabong coming, Patrick?
Two good questions. Roger, can I take those in order?
Sure.
I'll hit the second one first. I believe the system is in danger of vapor locking. And if you don't believe me, the SEC itself, a year and a half ago, took an extraordinary step. In January of 2005, they actually forgave, they call it grandfathering, they forgave all the IOUs that are in the market. Now, which is crazy, because it's been illegal for 70 years to do this on purpose. But in January of 2005, they came out and they grandfathered all that existed. And in their explanation on their website, they said, we had to do this because we're afraid of excessive market volatility if we tried to clean this up. So in other words, they, out of one side of their mouth, Roger, they've been saying for 5 years, oh, this is no big deal, don't worry about it. Out of the other side of their mouth, they're saying, this is such a big deal that if we actually try to stop it, they say we can't even tell you how big it is. They've refused to disclose how big it is.
They don't know how big it
is. No, they do know. They just won't disclose because they've said we cannot disclose how big it is, and we have to forgive all that are out there because otherwise we're afraid of excessive market volatility, which is code word for it will crater the system.
In other words, a code word for another market crash.
Another 1929. So out of the one side of their mouth, they're trying to tell the public don't worry about it. Out of the other side, they're saying it'll crater the system.
Right.
Thanks so much, Roger, for your phone call. Hang on. We're going to stay with this topic. Roger, I got to take a quick break. If you want to get another question in, just hold on.
Okay.
I'm Terry Gilbert here on The Terry Gilbert Show on News Talk 550 KFYI, the Valley Stock Station. Well, you will in time. Maybe not tomorrow, but maybe Tuesday. A jump on Tuesday's headlines. You're going to be hearing more about this naked short selling, and in particular, a company called Gradient Analytics, formerly Camelback. And what do they have to do with anything anyway? Well, Gradient, for their part, is a research company that writes reports about young, upcoming companies that are starting to make it big on Wall Street. And it's been alleged, not by me, but by others, including my in-studio guest, that they've written false reports. And that is a Scottsdale connection that I want to bring into our conversation. Now, before we went to break, Robert in Litchfield Park, I hope you're still there, and I'm going to bring you back on in just a second. But Robert Patrick Byrne made reference to Enron.
Yes.
And at the break, we were starting to talk about Enron. So since the mic is up, let's share.
Okay, Roger, I think you brought up Enron and you lost money there. I'm going to float an idea that's going to sound preposterous, but I want you to imagine this. Imagine a thief is breaking into a home and he's down in the basement robbing what's in the basement. Imagine a murderer knows the thief's down there. He goes in and he kills somebody sleeping in bed, leaves the bloody knife on the floor, runs away and calls the cops. It would be the perfect crime because when the cops arrive, they're never going to believe that, hey, they found the burglar in the basement. They're always going to believe he's the guy who did it. So now let's talk about Enron. Enron clearly was run by some crooks, Skilling, Fast, Olay. These guys were bad guys, and they've been convicted, and so I can say they're crooks. But when Enron, when that first came, it's not clear that, although those guys stole billions, it's not clear that they actually stole enough to destroy the company. In fact, the people who've been liquidating Enron in bankruptcy have turned up, I think, $36 billion in assets. But when Enron, when all the bad news first started coming out, it fell from 90 bucks a share to 30 bucks a share, and then it just held, and then it collapsed to pennies. There are some people who believe that that collapse from $30 to pennies was actually one of these orchestrated naked short attacks. So it could be that Skilling and Clay and those guys were the bad guys in the basement who were stealing, but they may not be the guys who actually murdered it. It could be that some hedge funds were the ones who actually murdered it and stole your savings and so on and so forth. Now, there's only one way to know, and that is if the SEC would reveal the information on how big the naked shorting was in Enron in those final days. The SEC refuses to release that information.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Wouldn't that be amazing? We all know that Enron's crooks, and we all know that they're bad
sure.
guys. But imagine if it turned out that the people who actually destroyed the company were not the ones we think. The ones we think, yeah, they're bad guys, they stole some money.
But it's those who live in the darkness, especially those who live offshore, because the SEC can't regulate those hedge funds,
yep.
right?
It basically can't. Maybe they're the ones who killed Enron. Now, it's just a conjecture, but the only way to know for sure is to get information that they refuse to release.
But that's our freedom of information, and I know just even as a journalist, there's times when I've tried to get freedom of information, and I'll get papers back with big black magic markers carving out certain key words. So it is sometimes banging on, banging on a brick wall or walking up an escalator that's going down.
Yep.
You just have to keep at it.
So maybe, Roger, the people who stole your money and who destroyed your savings may not have been the guys you think they could. It could have been some hedge funds out in Connecticut.
You're all full of theories, aren't you there, Patrick?
Well, it tells you something.
No, it does. Yes, and with pounding at the brick wall, I'm sure in time all of this will come out. All right, we're going to spend a little more time with this. Thank you so much, Roger, for getting in on the conversation. Stay tuned. More with Patrick Byrne and Naked Short Selling right after this. Our whole second hour, we're going to talk about it as well. I'm Terry. Don't go away. 606 on News Talk 550 KFYI, the Valley's, your Valley's talk station. I'm Terry Gilbert. I'm delighted you're on board as we peel back the onion of this fraudulent scheme and get to the pulp of the story. Typically, I don't talk too much about the ins and outs of the stock market, but in a case like this, where so much money is at hand, and when I have a guest that is a CEO of a company that was shorted, as we talked about in our first hour, and now is moving forward like Joan of Arc to take on the Wall Street Goliath, the David Goliath battle that he's up against to root out this fraud so as that the stock market might not altogether crash as in 1929. I just had to book him for the show and bring him in. Now, if you're new to the program, we're talking about naked short selling. That's a kind of lofty word. I don't want your eyes to glaze over or you turn off the radio. Think of it this way. You buy a plane ticket to go to San Francisco, and you go to baggage, and you're ready to put your bags on the conveyor belt and check in, or, you know, outside on the curb, and someone says, oh, we oversold that flight. You go, ah, all right, but that's okay. You can get on the next flight. Here's an IOU. Can you imagine getting an IOU and an IOU and another IOU, and you just keep getting IOUs and you never get on the plane?
We didn't just imagine the airline tells you, no, we didn't rip you off. We took your money, but we gave you an IOU. And you say, yeah, but I'm trying to use the, and they say, well, here's an IOU for the next flight. And you try to get on that flight, and they say, and you can't. And they say, well, here's an IOU for another. No, we didn't rip you off. We still have an IOU.
Yeah, you've got a piece of paper. And this, if you're new to the program, is my special guest, Patrick Byrne, who is the CEO of Overstock.com. His company got shorted, and he has already said on air on the Terry Gilbert Show that so has Taser International, based in Scottsdale. So has Krispy Kreme's, Martha Stewart, and a whole host of others. How about Sedona? You can look up that product. You can look at that company. You can look up BioVail. And what is a key factor in all of this, too? A Scottsdale company called Gradient Analytics. What do they do? Gradient Analytics analyzes up-and-coming companies that are on the stock market, NASDAQ, and so forth. And he alleges, and so do some authorities now, kind of agreeing as this story is busting wide open, that Gradient has written false reports so that some companies go into the toilet. Now, I think it's noteworthy to tell you that so far, and I think I've got my number right, 8 authors or research analysts have already been working with the authorities as their, quote, shall I say it, rolling for the prosecution. They are targets in this investigation, trying to allegedly keep their fannies out of jail because they too could be indicted. Am I right, Patrick, out of Gradient? And therefore, they are dumping a lot on authorities as to what really happened in that company. True or false?
Well, it's put it this way. I know some of those people. I have gotten to know them well. And I think that they're cooperating with the authorities because they're good people. If some of them are young, if they're all young folks who were in this company that they thought was legitimate. They were in there 6 months, 9 months, a year, year and a half, and they started realizing this is all crooked.
Wait, let me stop you there so my listeners really understand before I take a few more phone calls. The this that is crooked means that hedge fund operators, the big collusion money, will then hire a Gradient, and there's other Gradients in the world too,
yes,
to write up reports almost as if Gradient was dictated to. Is that accurate?
Yes. In fact, one of the hedge funds told Gradient, don't ever, Gradient actually sent them some of their own research, and the hedge fund said, don't ever send us your own research again, and we will tell you what to write and when to write it. So the hedge fund would dictate a report to Gradient. Gradient would get it all ready to publish, and then now this is according to people who were there, who worked in Gradient, who were part of this, and then the Gradient would say, okay, we're ready to publish this, and the hedge fund would say, well, why don't you wait 4 or 5 days so we can get a position in, so I can go out and trade in front of this research. Well, that's illegal on so many different levels. I lose track of it. That is also illegal. So there's a half dozen or more who have come out and done this. But I wouldn't say they're doing it because that they were afraid of being prosecuted. There's some young people who just realized, in fact, in the case of 3 of them, they went to their bosses one day and they said, this is illegal. What we're doing here is illegal. We have to change the way we operate. The boss fired them the next day. And so they came to me because they knew that I was trying to reform things, and I took them to the authorities.
All right. All right. Let's leave the Gradient there because my phone lines are jammed, and keep trying to get in at 602-260-KFYI. We're here until the top of the hour, I think, considering the response. Patrick, can you give me till 7 o'clock?
I'll give you all the time.
All right. Very good. Okay. Lois in Cave Creek, a woman. Hello, Lois. Welcome to the Terry Gilbert Show.
Thanks for taking my call. I have 2 questions. One, would you advise getting out of the stock market now? And 2, does this affect government bonds and treasury bills?
Well, and gee, Lois, 2 nice questions. I hate to say this.
I know.
But I think we could be looking at a vapor lock of the system. And the SEC itself has said the SEC's of two minds. They want to slow this down, but they have said if we really try to stop this, it could crack the system. So I don't know what to tell you. I think that getting your money out of the stock market is a very good idea. I can tell you I'm getting rid of all of my stock except overstock. I'm turning things into gold. I'm turning things into Swiss francs. I think that we could be looking at a 1929 catastrophic event.
What about precious metals?
Precious metals are okay as long as you actually get possession. Remember 15 years ago, the SNL failures?
And yes.
You got hit hard here.
Oh,
in Arizona.
Sure. Arizona was number one with us.
You could be seeing the same kind of rippling failures of banks, but occurring not in this and that savings and loan, but in the big Wall Street firms you could
well,
see.
What about government bonds and treasury bills and things like that?
Good question.
Great question. I'm sorry to say, well, the government bonds, government T-bills are always safe. It's always a very safe place to be.
Uh-huh.
And so putting your money in government T-bills may be a very good choice. Uh-huh. But I hate to say it because I've been a fan of the stock market all our life.
I know.
I think that we're looking at something very severe, and you ought to be very careful about having your money
all
in
right, let me go back to that. Thank you, Lois, for weighing in. Win, win, win. You know, in real estate, it's location, location, location. In the stock market, is when do you dump? When do you run for cover?
It's a great question. What is like is a huge game of musical chairs, and the music is playing, and there's a lot of people walking around, and we can see that there aren't nearly as many chairs as there are people walking. All we can say is when the music stops, it's going to be an absolute disaster, but I can't tell you when the music's going to stop. But when it does stop, it's going to be a free-for-all.
All right, thanks, Lois. On a cell phone, this is Larry. Larry, welcome to the Terry Gilbert Show. Hi, my friend.
Yes, it occurs that this would be very good news for the Liberal Democrats. And actually, you know, if this happened before the election and the stock market craters, we can be virtually insured that the Democrats this cycle and the next cycle would go in and keep power. So I'm just kind of wondering where your guest politically sits. You know, is he a Democrat, liberal-hating, America-hating liberal, or what?
Am I?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm actually an independent. But
I would suppose you love the free enterprise system.
I like the free enterprise. Actually, Larry, let me assuage your concerns a bit. First of all, there's a lot of mud to be thrown on both sides of the aisle. These hedge funds have splashed a lot of money around, and both sides of the aisle are going to have mud on their face. But the specific people I'm up against are the specific, you know, once people are billionaires, the truth is they may say they're Republican Democrats. They're really not. They're just who's ever going to help them. So setting those aside, when you're talking about the specific crooks that I'm going after, they're overwhelmingly, I hate to make this political, but they tend to be overwhelmingly Democrat. And in fact, Elliot Spitzer is a crony of all these guys. And not only a crony, Elliot Spitzer's biggest donors are the very hedge funds I'm talking about. In fact, this is just starting to become an issue, but the biggest money that's going to Elliot Spitzer is coming from the very crooks, the crooked hedge funds that I'm talking about. Did you know that Elliot Spitzer, well, so Larry, I hope I assuage you. Now, but all that said, I don't want to pretend that this is just a Democratic issue. There's a senator on the Senate Banking Committee, a guy named Shelby, who I think is an absolute gangster. He's a Republican from Alabama. He's totally in the pocket of Wall Street. So there are bad guys on both sides of the aisle on this issue. On the other hand, there are heroes. I tell you, one guy who's standing up as a hero is Orrin Hatch. Your Congressman Renzi from Arizona is turning out to be, guy's got a backbone.
Where is Kyle and where is Senator McCain?
McCain's coming up to speed on this issue. I actually met with McCain not long ago. I gave him a whole pamphlet, a whole folder of information on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to speak for McCain if he wants to come out. But so anyway, there's a lot of mud to be thrown on both sides of the issue, sir.
Okay.
Thank you for the call very much. All right. I think up next is Nick in Phoenix. Welcome, Nick, to the Terry Gilbert Show. I'm glad you called, Nick.
Yeah, thanks. I'm a bit concerned because this is scaring a lot of people, not me, because I don't believe half of what you're saying. I am concerned especially about the short sale rule, because you can't sell a stock short unless you borrow the stock. Now, is that not correct, Mr. Burns?
No, that's false.
Well, why is that false? Because that's what I've always done when I have shorted stocks.
Good question. That's the legitimate way to do it. Bingo.
Nick,
well, how could they do it? How could they actually physically do it through any reputable firm when the law says you cannot sell naked short?
Sir, Nick, you've hit the nail on the head. I totally agree with you. Short selling, when you borrow the stock in short, that's perfectly legit. But suppose I told you that there's now Freedom of Information Act responses from the SEC that show on any given day there's 150 million to 200 million.
I find that unbelievable and hard to believe.
Dude, I can tell you just where to go. You can see we have the FOIA request online on the letterhead from the SEC.
Well, why hasn't this made the front pages of certainly either the newspapers or certainly the business sections? And the last thing I want to say is I think I'm old enough to remember Orson Welles. And, Terry, I don't know if you know anything about that program that came. The aliens were coming, and people believed this hook, line, and
sinker. And the sky is falling, and we must tell the king.
And they were jumping out of high,
yes.
Many-story buildings. Now, this is what I think of right now when I'm listening to
Nick, let Nick go.
I wanted to take his charge. Nick, go ahead. Are you finished?
I'm just about finished. I'm saying that I'm incredulous about this whole thing because you haven't told me exactly how they do this. You haven't told anybody precisely how do they do this. How do they naked short sell?
All right, Nick, I've got a break. Hold on, Patrick.
Okay.
Hold on, Steve and Margaret and Gary. Hold on, Nick. I'll hold on too while we get our quick break, and we are going to go through some of the fundamentals for you because, Nick, you are right. There is a legitimate way, a legal way to short sell. That's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about the illegal way. So you're right on the legal way. That's the way you've been taught, and you sound like an honest Joe, an honest Nick. That's how you've done it, and that's true. That's how most of us have done it. But the illegal way is the subject of this conversation on the Terry Gilbert Show, News Talk 550, KFYI, the Valley's talk station. We're talking about. We're talking about your money and specifically how to short a stock properly, legally, correctly, and how to do it illegally and why this is now becoming a pretty big story. Previous caller was saying, well, I don't see it on the cover of the paper. Well, I saw it in 60 Minutes. I saw it in Dateline NBC. So much so that I brought a CEO of this happening to his own company to better explain. So, Patrick, walk us through how to short a stock, which is a legitimate, legal way of playing the markets, and how those, shall I say, bastards do it.
Well,
otherwise,
your word, not mine. First, Nick, I want to thank you very much for that question. And I'm going to take the first part of why isn't this in the news. I encourage you, pick up the current issue of Bloomberg magazine. You can Google this. Bloomberg, her author's name is Drummond, D-R-U-M-M-O-N-D. It's in the current issue that has come out where they've written a story that basically says everything that this crazy guy from Utah is saying is true. This is happening on a massive scale. So when something becomes front page news, there's that point that it hasn't quite made it there, and people are saying, well, if this is true, why is it on the front page? I'm telling you, pick up the current issue of Bloomberg Market Magazine, one of the most well-regarded magazines in the financial markets, and they have a story that says this is all true.
All right, now take us through the illegal aspect versus the legal aspect.
Okay, in a legitimate short, as Nick said, what you do is if you think a stock like IBM is going to go down, what you can do is you can borrow a share through your broker and you sell it into the market. And let's suppose the market's $100 today in IBM. I don't know what it is. But you borrow a share and you sell it. You collect your $100. And then you hope that the stock goes down. And let's say it goes down to 60. You then take, you have 100 in your pocket, you take 60, you buy a share in the open market, and you give it back to the guy you, from whom you borrowed a share.
And you made 40 bucks.
You made 40 bucks. That's legitimate. It adds information to the marketplace. It's a useful system. But there's a there's something called an FTD, a failure to deliver. And that it happens when, suppose somebody shorts a share, and they sell into the marketplace, and then when it comes time to deliver that share they borrowed, they say, oh, you know what, I didn't, I borrowed it in Germany or in Australia, and it hasn't arrived yet, and this and that, and they make a bunch of excuses. Well, if it's a big hedge fund, believe it or not, they're allowed to get away with that. And what happens is the system creates what is effectively an IOU for a share. It's called an FTD, stands for failure to deliver. And so there's a legitimate reason for having that rule. You don't want the whole system to crack if somebody missed some paperwork or something. So that hedge fund puts an FTD or an IOU into the marketplace. Well, imagine they have a broker that lets them get away with doing that not just once, not just twice, but millions and millions and tens of millions of times. What they're actually doing is they're creating sort of fake supply in the marketplace so they can collapse a stock. Now, if you don't believe this is true, I urge you to go to a site called businessjive.com. That's jive as in jive turkey, businessjive.com.
J-I-V-E.
J-I-V-E.
One word.
One word. There's a presentation on this that I did. It's a narrated PowerPoint. It has documents from the SEC, Freedom of Information Act responses, papers from economists documenting this. In fact, the SEC hired an economist named Leslie Bonney to study this. She came out with a report that got classified by the government, but there's a non-classified version that's included there. You can find it on Business Jive that says this is all true. It's endemic. It is that people are strategically using the system to destroy companies, that the failures are massive, and they're all over the marketplace.
And is this 100-point slides,
yes.
100 slides that you put together also to explain to the layperson how stocks work, and then getting into sort of the chapter two of it, how a hedge fund would work, how a naked short sell legal system works, and the short sell legal system works, and how a naked short sell illegal system works.
That's correct.
100 points. It's www.businessjive.com.
Right. If you go there and you click play, you can sit back for an hour and it will teach the whole thing, and all the documents are there, Nick, from economists, from the SEC. I know that this sounds crazy. I know that it sounds like I must have tinfoil on my hat to, you know, like I've got all the documents are there that support what I'm saying.
I also want to throw this in too, Nick. I think you hung up, but I want you to know that tomorrow is the closing date for the SEC to hear from Joe Public for their purposes as they start to look into this investigative work that they have with naked short selling. Tomorrow is the closing date. So if you're out there in Anywhereville, USA, and you want to put in your two cents as to what you know about it, the SEC has had an open period. Tomorrow they close to get all of this analysis together so they can start looking at this and the ramifications of it.
And they're considering tightening the loophole. Truth is, the chairman, Chris Cox, has said he wants to tighten the loophole, but he's got a bureaucracy that's fighting back against him, the people who are in the pocket of Wall Street.
All right, one thing, too. Hold on, Gary. I'll get to you and Margaret and Steve. One thing, too, you made reference to before we get too far away from this thread. You were talking about some television journalists and some print journalists who you believe also, Patrick, are in bed with the conspirators from the hedge funds.
Yes.
Who are they?
Jim Cramer, Herb Greenberg. First of all, Herb Greenberg, there's a fellow here from Gradient, an ex-employee of Gradient, who sat there in Gradient saying, I was at the next desk while people in Gradient coordinated with Herb Greenberg on the timing and release of his stories to favor hedge funds. So they're taking orders from hedge funds about what to write. They're giving a copy of it to Herb so he gets his story ready. And then only when the hedge fund says go do they come out and publish their story. So they're manipulating the press and Herb Greenberg's going along with it. Herb has been subpoenaed by the SEC. Now, publicly, Herb is saying, oh, this is a First Amendment issue, which is trying to pretend it's like Judy Miller. Well, nobody has any doubt who his sources are. What they're looking for is, was Herb Greenberg coordinating with hedge funds as to the timing of his stories so as to manipulate the market on their behalf?
You mean manipulate it through the press, also causing it to drop and destroying companies and jobs and ideas.
Absolutely.
And inventions and everything else in the ripple effect.
Yes. You want me to walk you through? Is that detailed enough? You want me to give you an example? I don't want to.
Well, let's go. We got 1 minute before Fox News, and then I will get to Steve. You'll be up next, and Margaret and Gary, and I've got one line open as well, 602-260-KFYI. Tell me one quick example in this next 40 seconds, if you can, about Jim Cramer.
Oh, Jim Cramer.
The money man anchor, Jim Cramer.
Money man anchor, Jim Cramer, is as bent as they come. He's even written in his books how he used to manipulate the market by releasing rumors and so on and so forth. He takes his orders from hedge funds. Oh, I'll give you a quick example. He got subpoenaed by the feds, and he's on TV saying, I never heard of Gradient. I never heard of these guys. Well, there are emails that exist between a woman who works for him named Becky Quick and a guy at Gradient. They communicated dozens of times. The guy at Gradient says Becky Quick was saying Jim Cramer loves the Gradient stuff. He says, send us more. He's on TV saying, I never heard of these people. There are emails that prove he's lying.
He was subpoenaed?
He was subpoenaed.
All right. More with Patrick Byrne and your phone call, 602-260-KFYI. Back after Fox and a local update with anchor David Moskowitz. I'm Terry Gilbert. We're talking about your money and if you've got it parked in the stock market and if it will be safe. With the CEO of Overstock.com is Patrick Byrne. He's in the studio with me, and he's on this mission, kind of like a Joan of Arc, to get rid of the bad guys. Even at the break, he was saying it's mobbed up in Wall Street, especially with these hedge funds. So before I take more phone calls, and if you'd like to get in tonight, 602-260-KFYI. Patrick, I want to read you this one email that came in because it does segue our conversation to a little bit about what we were talking about at the break, and that is alleged mob connections. Terry, great topic. I'm having trouble getting in, but please ask your guest if the name Michael Joel Zwebner, Z-W-E-B-N-E-R, has cropped up, and his company UCSY on the ticker, also a company named Talk Visual. I've been following the accusations, blah, 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 money laundering for the DEA. And this man allegedly has, I'm just jumping here, has connections to the Colombo crime family in Florida. All right. He's making some references to, this emailer, to mobsters. Are mobsters thick and deep in this?
Mobsters are all over this. I'm pulling my mic up here. Mobsters are all over this. I normally don't like to talk about individuals, but I'll give you an example. There was a company you mentioned called Sedona. It's a Pennsylvania software company. They got destroyed through a naked shorting attack. They have 80 million shares outstanding. 700 million fake shares got sold. The DOJ, the SEC did go after the people. Turns out the folks behind it were, first of all, the first line was an Austrian financier called Badian. Now, for those of you who don't know, Austria is one of the world's capitals of money laundering. And people don't know that, but Switzerland is not what people think it is. Austria became the center of Russian organized crime money laundering. And so whenever you start hearing about Austrian financiers, and I used to live in Austria, I've got nothing against them, but so Sedona got destroyed by a guy in Austria representing a Panamanian hedge fund and through a bank called Revco. Now, Revco blew up. Revco is his name. It's a broker-dealer. It was the eighth largest one in the country. It blew up last October, completely gone. Their biggest creditor turned out to be a Moscow hedge fund, and they'd been propped up by an Austrian bank who itself was hiding billion-dollar losses in Caribbean tax havens.
No, geez.
So my point is, anywhere you go into this issue, you come very quickly into offshore tax havens, Moscow, Panamanian, Austrian money. It's all mobbed up.
All right, let me get to Steve in Maricopa, who has been holding a very long time. And I appreciate you, Steve, for hanging on there. I'm glad I got to you. Welcome, Steve. Hello.
Yeah, you already preempted my question, how it's going to affect precious metals and commodities. So I'll jump to the second question.
All righty.
how is this going to affect us in a depression with the U.S. currency being worthless and having to go to the Amerodollar, which has already been approved to be issued in 2008, and the World Bank going to the Eurodollar, and OPEC going to the Eurodollar, and the U.S. economy basically completely collapsing? How is this going to affect us against our enemies, such as Russia, China, etc.?
Good question. Very loaded question. Wow. All right.
Quite frankly, you know, well, this is to get the people off the seat that says, I don't invest in the stock market. It don't affect me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of things going on there. First of all...
I'll listen on the air. I'm going to...
Thank you, Steve. Okay. And thanks again for holding. Thank you, Steve. Go ahead.
First of all, you got to understand the U.S. dollar probably is overvalued by about 50%. There's a lot of fake things that are keeping it up. One of those is the fact that when people buy oil around the world, the first thing they do is they convert their money into dollars, and then they use the dollars to buy oil. So that's created the rise in oil prices has ironically created an upward pressure on the dollar. If oil switches to euros instead of dollars, the dollar will collapse. In addition, the right way to think of it is the dollar should be sliding, maybe gradually, but what happens is a bunch of things keep it in place, so it's like architectonic plates on the earth, and there's all this pressure building up. And it's built and built, and it's going to take, you know, somewhere in the world there's an archduke that's going to get shot. In other words, there's a political event that's going to happen somewhere in the world. It's going to snap those architectonic forces. The dollar will collapse. When the dollar collapses, and I think it's going to go to about 50% of its current value, it'll do a bunch. It's one thing it'll be good for is industries which compete with importers. Chinese goods are suddenly going to be a lot more expensive. It's going to help revive. It's going to help some Americans, people who manufacture. It's going to help them. But overall, it's going to create huge dislocations through the global financial system. Now, this issue that I'm talking about, naked short selling, that may be the archduke who gets shot. That may be the event that triggers it.
Jenny, you're up next on the Terry Gilbert Show in Sun City. Jenny, welcome tonight. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
I'm interested in, does this involve the IRIS or ING fund?
I don't really talk about specific. I don't really talk about specific banks and people who are involved, and I don't want to give you advice on specific investments. Other than I think that until the SEC fixes this, you should get your money out of the stock market into something very safe, either a U.S. Treasury bill, or if you believe that we may be facing a real systemic collapse, then you got to get it into gold or something that will survive a systemic collapse.
Appreciate you, Jenny. Thank you. Gary in, where's Gary, guys? Gary's calling from Florida. He must be hearing us web stream. This is Gary. Hello.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
Hey, Gary. How are you? Nice to hear from you.
I'm doing great. I wanted to point something out. I've been involved in this a lot longer than Patrick, and there were many of us that didn't have a voice, and we were saying this and saying it and saying it, and Patrick stepped forward. But to your listener, Nick, let me point something out that we've known for years. I'm looking at this on the Internet, so I know he can find it. But there was a fellow by the name of Amir Anthony El-Gindi. El-Gindi was the premier naked short seller, especially in the crash of 2000. El-Gindi, his parents were Egyptian doctors who fronted Muslim terrorist organizations, money laundering firms in the 70s.
Hamas, isn't he later connected with Hamas?
Yeah, and El-Gindi just got sentenced to 11 years. Now, he was looking at 25 to life.
Yeah,
so he got 11, so he must have helped this out.
No.
But what he did was, on September the 10th, 2001... He sold the long stock positions that he had out of the Smith Barney account. Smith Barney turned them in. And he told a stockbroker friend of his the Dow was going to drop 3,000 points. Now, every scam has a benefactor. And I'll leave it to Nick to get on the Internet and figure. And when Patrick talked about the mob and the Russian mob and...
Gary, you and I know that I sound nuts, and when I'm talking about this stuff, how nuts am I? You've been following this.
Patrick, I've been doing this for 10 years. I've been tracing this down.
Aren't you a stockbroker yourself?
Oh, please, don't remind me.
Okay.
Not for long. What is
your line of work, Gary? What do you do?
Well, let's just leave it at that, because that's right. But it's just something where I got stung,
And all right, so you were in the markets as a broker agent. All right, very good. Go ahead.
Gary was a stockbroker. Gary and I have never met each other, but we've communicated, and he knows. You know, Gary, just how crazy am I with all this stuff? Tell the listeners.
Well, it's the problem is that he's not. Although it's the perfect crime, it's like killing somebody with an icicle. There's no evidence left. These guys are brilliant, and they pass money around. Pay off a lot of folks. A lot of folks. And we've known that the money... My fear is that we're buying the hardware that's killing our own U.S. Marines.
What's happening in Louisiana? Can you say that publicly?
Well, it says Liz Moyer in Forbes magazine. You can get that search on the Internet.
Yeah.
Louisiana is asking UBS, which used to be Payne Webber, it's now UBS, which is the Union Bank of Switzerland. They're asking for records and the manipulation of a stock by the name of Sedona Corp that Patrick has talked about at length.
The Attorney General of Louisiana a couple weeks ago has gone after them in what looks like a criminal subpoena, right?
It comes from the Department of Justice, yeah. And if you go back, Nick, your listener, Nick, just go on the Internet, look at SEC Sedona Corp, just like the city in Arizona. You will come up with two SEC actions, and one, the first one in February of 2003, where one of the Badians, which Patrick spoke of, this is right on the SEC website, says, sell that stock and be ruthless. And
yep.
Then he calls up after the fact,
and he
thanks the broker for the wonderful job.
Wow, listen, McGarry, let me go. I'm going to go over because time is short. I'm going to go amplify on something you said. There's a guy who just got sentenced to 11 years in jail. His name's Anthony Elgindy. Anyone can Google this, Elgindy. Guy was a money guy in New York. And
this is the man he's talking about.
And he was running a lot of these scams about 5 or 6 years ago. He had a newsletter. He had some dirty journalists that has been documented were working for him, all this kind of stuff. Well, Anthony Elgindy's real name is Amir Elgindy. He was Egyptian, but he changed it in America and tried to pass himself off as Italian. The guy on September 10th, 2001, called his broker and tried to liquidate all of his stocks. And he told his broker, tomorrow, the market's going to fall 3,000 points.
Oh, my God. This is riveting. Oh, my God. 2001, September 10th.
The day before. Now, you think this all sounds crazy? You can find that in the Wall Street Journal.
I'm looking at the link, Patrick, as we speak.
Yeah,
on the Internet.
Anyone can Google that name, and they can find this isn't made up. You can find this in the Wall Street Journal in a story that's confirmed this. Wherever you go into this issue, you come on things like that, Russian money, Arab terrorism.
All right. Thanks, Gary, for the phone call all the way from Florida and weighing in online there to listen to the Terry Gilbert Show. Let me squeeze on a cell, Les. Hello, Les. Welcome to the program tonight. Hello.
Hello, Terry and Patrick.
Hi, Les.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's riveting. Patrick, he knows how to put it all together. He's absolutely correct from what little bit I know about it. I, too, am a victim, the indirect victim of the Enron deal when I was listening to the last hour, in the sense that I bought Coastal stock, about 200 shares, at about $20 a share in about 84, 85, I think, about in two or three increments. And I kept going up to 80 and splitting. Well, I kind of went to sleep, and then they got took over by El Paso Corporation, and then all of a sudden they were at 86 or something. I was waiting for them to split, went to sleep, and in 2000, all of a sudden, boom, they dropped about 375 because El Paso got caught up in the Enron scandal.
Right.
They understand that, of course.
Yep.
But what I wanted to ask you about, and of course the selling long on the market September 10th, I don't know why that's not just preached from the rooftops, quite frankly.
It's so
significant to this whole thing that it should be preached from the rooftops. That should never have been not mentioned one day on any talk radio program.
Well, let me tell you, there's some reasons for it. There's an awful lot that I can't say that ties Elgindy, that ties this issue into terrorism.
Well, absolutely.
However, the people who prosecuted Elgindy were afraid that if they brought that in to the trial, that it would be so inflammatory, it would give the defense reasons to object and say afterwards, hey, we got railroaded because this is inflammatory. So it was purposefully excluded at trial, and the guy got 11 years. But there is so much, I'm telling you, I mean, I know that I've The truth is, I'm a normal guy. I was a college professor, a mild-mannered college professor. I know that what I'm saying sounds crazy to people, but you can Google these and you can find these little facts and you start tying them together, mm-hmm. and it is absolutely freaking me out.
What I wanted to ask you about was a sister scandal that is probably just as bad. As far as the economic health of our country is concerned. By the way, the Arabs and the Muslim world is probably going to go to the gold dinar, and I don't know where that stands right now rather than the euro, but they may go euro and then dinar. But the question I have is the scandal in Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And there's
what of it? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a gal named Catherine Austin Fitz who was an assistant secretary of HUD. And she was bringing the scandal to light. Are you aware of any of these at all?
Yes, I am. I'm very familiar with it.
And I'm telling you, when you tie these two together, this could be worse than 1929. Matter of fact, I can get you, Catherine, as a guest on your program.
Sir, I believe 1929, if this doesn't get addressed quickly, and I can tell you there are folks in D.C. with badges and guns who are all over this now. If this doesn't get addressed quickly, I think it's going to make 1929 look like a Sunday picnic.
And then, like I say, you throw the Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae scandal in there, and the information, the whistleblower, Catherine Austin Fitz, is in there, and that is what led to the resignation of the first Secretary of the Treasury.
Les, you're always a good call. Let's via email, terrygilbert@clearchannel.com, and we'll see about the guests you just suggested. Quick break, folks. I'm on with Patrick Byrne. We are talking about the illegalities, the scandals, the collusion, the conspiracy, the counterfeiting, really, of what is known otherwise as naked short selling and all of the ramifications. Could it lead to a stock market crash? That's what I've got him here in the hot seat for.
Go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run.
Don't forget, after the Terry Gilbert Show at 7 o'clock is Matt Drudge, and he will be on all about the national and international issues of the day. Don't be surprised, too, if Matt Drudge starts to look at this and post this on his website. That's my prediction. This is a huge story, and we will save for when I fill in during the week from 7 to 10, which I believe this schedule for this week, folks, is on Friday night. We'll talk more about the initiatives also and see if there is a lot more action, at least orally, against the Pope with regard to his quote, which happened to do with an emperor from the 14th century, about Islam and the Prophet Muhammad. So we'll shelve that because of the interest in this topic. I'm Terry Gilbert, and I'm with Patrick Byrne. Patrick, regrettably, we're down to about 4 minutes. So let me sneak in Jerry in Phoenix. Let me get to him, and then we'll wrap up your comments. And, of course, I'm going to want you back. You know that.
Okay.
All right. Hi, Jerry. Welcome to the Terry Gilbert Show on 550 KFYI.
Thanks for taking my call. This is all very sobering. Look, I must be like millions of guys. I work for a municipality. I have a 457K. I put $300-$400 a month in, and 401Ks are like that. If there is some type of a catastrophic collapse in the stock market, what type of fund is open to a person like me? I mean, I just can't go out and buy gold or something like that with, the funds available to me. What sort of a strategy would somebody like me have to save what they have?
Good question. Thanks for it.
Good question. First of all, there is something you can do, which is write your congressman. Go to a site called congressmerge.com. It lets you write quick letters to congressmen. We need action. Secondly, what you can do is get your money out of the stock market. If there's a catastrophic collapse, you're going to be safe if you have real estate, or you're going to be safe if you have metal, if you have gold, and I mean get the actual physical gold. You can do that with $300 or $400 a month. Get it in a lockbox. Those are the only things I can. I believe that we could be seeing a vapor lock of the financial system.
Right. See, what I was worried about is money that's already vested in, different funds. I can't turn it into, say, precious metals. I don't think there's an option to do that.
Let me read you something from the SEC website itself. I have it right in front of me. And they say the grandfathering provisions, in other words, the forgiving that we did, were adopted because the SEC, this is the SEC talking about themselves, because the SEC was concerned about creating volatility where there were large pre-existing open positions. So what they're saying, that's a fancy way of saying we were afraid that if we did not forgive all of this fake stock that's in the market, that the large pre-existing open positions, the large amounts of this, if we tried to clean it up, would create volatility, which is what they, which is a crash. So the SEC themselves is saying we're afraid to take this issue on because we're afraid it may crater the market if we try to, if we try to stop it. But in the meantime, you're just getting robbed. If your money's going into the stock market, there's a significant chance your money's just getting stolen.
I appreciate the call. So heads up, you know, everybody's entitled to their own perception and their own view. Clearly, my intent, of course, we were talking about this at the break, Patrick, is not to scare anybody. But when you look at the events of the day and the hostilities in the Middle East and the vitriol politically in our system here, and you hear and talk to a person like you that has studied this and marched forward to expose this kind of fraud, the writing is on the wall, and that's my perception of it. I happen to have money with Merrill Lynch, for example, in just mutual funds for when I retire from talk radio. Am I safe?
Well,
I know that's a tough question, and we're down to 2 minutes, a minute and a half.
I don't want to scare anybody. I've been in the stock market all my life. I love the stock market. I'm scared to death. The real thing that has to happen is some congressmen and senators have to act and have to force the SEC's hands. The SEC has been afraid to act because they're in the pocket of Wall Street and they see this as catastrophic. We've got to get some pressure on the politicians, and they're the only ones who can make it stop in time.
All right, Patrick, I think I've got right, Luke, and I want to thank Luke Lipinski behind the glass and Dan Garcia, who have really funneled a lot of phone calls our way and really broadened the scope of this show. So thanks, guys. Patrick, before we run out of time, thank you so much for coming in to Phoenix and into News Talk 550 KFYI, all the way from Utah. Give your website, your email, anybody that wants to contact you, and then we'll wrap it up for another edition.
Tara, it's been my pleasure. My email is patrick@overstock.com. Website you can learn about this is go to thesanitycheck.com or businessjive.com. And lastly, I don't mean to scare anybody. Help me get some pressure on the politicians, and maybe they can stop this.
Patrick Byrne, it was a delight to talk to you. It was very eye-opening, and thanks for these riveting